stay. I know she doesn't celebrate Christmas. Fuck, she'll celebrate with me. I got a shotgun in your head, Weinstein. Eat some of that fucking turkey. You want a little ham off the bone? What do you mean you don't like ham off the bone?
Everybody likes ham off the bone. Eat it. Eat it. I mean it. Eat it.
Fucking eat it, Reg.
Christmas with Peach.
You okay, man?
And Weinstein at me.
I didn't mean to hit you so hard, man. I'm not a wife beater. We're not married. You okay? I love you.
I want a lesbian under my Christmas tree.
All right, everybody, that was Mr. Zichi and another original song written for me. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, general audience. By the way, this is Madge Weinstein on yeastradio.com, as if you didn't know by the fact that you clicked on the goddamn thing. I have a vagina and my name is Madge. And I'm in Florida and I'm fat. And I just saw this movie, Syriana. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that very much. I'm not going to talk about anything very much right now because I already have a show prepared. I just want to explain something. Oh, first of all, the Mr. Zichi is going insane right at the same time as Mr. Norm Augustinus and Roger Smalls. Both of those people are going insane in sort of the same way at the same time. Quite as going a little bit crazy, like in a criminal way. And I don't understand what's going on with that. Anyway, I just needed to mention that because I don't want it to sort of fester and underneath the my epidermis. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to go into the meat of the show, which I recorded already, and I'm just going to explain this. Now, this is the Friday show. Now, here's how it works on Friday. The Sirius show is a little different from what you the Sirius. Who cares? Here it is, the show. Now, the reason it's different from what goes on the show is because I put Reagan Fox's show as part of my Sirius on Friday's show. So I'm not going to put the exact same thing that I do on Sirius because that would mean including Reagan Fox's show in this, which would undermine his feed. So I'm not going to include his show in my feed because that would encourage people to listen to my show, not to subscribe. Does that make fucking sense? I don't care. So anyway, so what I have for you is a long-ass discussion with your favorite man from Los Angeles, Rachel Cann. Let's just go right into it because she talks forever and she never shuts up. So here it is. Oh, but I forgot. I think, oh, oops, sorry, that's not quite it yet. I forgot to mention that I'm going to play some songs. So here's one of the tracks. I don't know if you call it a song or a poetry or a sort of feminist, lesbian, in denial, outrage, whatever you call it. But here's one of them. I'm going to throw them in. I'm not going to announce them, okay, after this one. So here we go. Bye.
Fantasizing about what I would do to you, how it would play out, wondering what would happen if I could be your Cleopatra. The attraction would be palpable if I was capable, if I could let go and whisper through midnight lighted leaves, believe in things easily like the sanctity of secrets. Ride life like a swing to and fro. If I could be your Cleopatra. come within my capture, I'd teach you the real meaning of reaching rapture. Take a stand within your tricky pyramid, see through your scheme. Dream this into near reality with sheer will. And if I could stand still and simply exist, resist all this feeding of all the sickness within that continues to plague with fake hunger for something underneath this skin is a maze of veins. I'd drain them by praying till the day I went blue in the face if I thought it meant salvation. Under this skin is the indigo depth-charged starless night, full of wishes with no event horizon, rising like snow in reverse, cursed into oblivion that I'm sitting in, continuing to ruminate on twists of fate, like what if I could be your Cleopatra? But even this gets even more twisted when I contemplate my state, because I'm a reluctant Delilah, stricken with the gift of exquisite manipulation, which I've taken vows against. Now I drape loneliness over my chest, a lead smock trying to block unwanted stimulation, trying to duck under the radar of your amazing radiation, protecting my vitals from your x-ray ways of seeing inside me. Only I'm the one climbing on the table for examination, while your hands leave trails of radioactive fingerprints glistening. I'm beginning to be a supernatural crime scene. I'm all glow sticky lime green. Look at me. Your touch shows all over the whole of me. Trespassing transgressions, I'm a plutonium roadmap traversing within my skin, brimming with opacity that lastingly juxtaposes your luminescence. And the essence, I'm still alone in your presence, second guessing whether I should break this vow, and if so, how. And if now is like no other time like the present, then I guess it stands to reason that this is what it seems to be. It is all seven stages of enlightenment twisted into one simple perfect first kiss that lies in wait behind these Delilah lips that wish they were pasted to the face of the she who appears in your dreams, and they would be if I could be your Cleopatra.
I had a name. I thought of a new name for my guest today, Rape Chill Cam. I thought of a new name for you, and now I forgot. I was walking home from my Weight Watchers meeting, and I can't remember.
You did? What was it? I want to know.
It was like, it was a good name for you. It was like Jaime Flumgartner, something like that.
That is a good name for me. That makes perfect sense.
But that wasn't it. It wasn't Jaime Flumgartner. It was like, but some.
That was sarcasm, by the way, Mangina.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, that's a stupid name for me.
Finally, I can eat. I've been sitting here waiting for you to get your cunt off the bidet or whatever you were sitting on.
I was sitting on my bidet. Okay, I'm going to eat too then while you eat.
Fine.
I'm so hungry
because
I haven't
bought
eaten
this
for like 12 minutes.
I bought this Karma Sutra because Wanda Wisdom recommended it to me on Eat This Hot Show. We were talking about ice cream yesterday.
Oh, the Caramel Sutra?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, how good is that?
It's good.
I love it.
But now I'm self-conscious. I'm going to put it away because I'm not supposed to eat on the show. I'm going to take this.
Why?
Because that hot guy from Chile doesn't want to.
I know,
me
it
to
makes him sick.
Yeah, because he doesn't ever eat.
Well, whatever. I just got out some organic high fiber cereal. It looks like twigs. And then gorgeous April,
Kashi?
My lesbian lover,
Kashi?
Is making me some chicken.
Boring. Kashi?
No, it's not Kashi. It's called organic high fiber cereal. It's like from Whole Foods Market.
It's just called that.
Yeah, it's like their generic brand, but Whole Foods Market generic brand. It's like Twigs. It's disgusting. Okay. I don't want to talk about it.
We really shouldn't make eat noises, though. It is disgusting. So we should take turns. When you're eating, I'll talk. When I'm eating, you talk. Now, I'm going to gulp milk, so you talk right now.
Okay, I have a good binge story from last night.
Oh, my God, not a story. Jesus Christ. 30 seconds.
What?
If you can say the story in one gulp. It can't be one of these tragic 4-hour, you know, we don't want a ballad, but go ahead.
So anyway, last night I was like...
Oh, you're talking.
Ugh, fucker. So listen to this. Last night I was up at like 4 a.m. inexplicably to myself. I thought it was like 1 a.m. and I'm like driving home. So I decided to be depressed that I had stayed up so late that I should punish myself by having a bad snack.
You made a conscious decision to be depressed. That's good.
Well, yeah. No, it's just like I'll use any excuse to like do the things I shouldn't do, like binge or smoke cigarettes or whatever. So I'm like, ugh, I stayed up too late. I think I'll go have a cheeseburger. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. I know what you mean.
To continue the punishment, you know?
Of course. Of course.
So actually, what I wanted first was Taco Bell, but I guess I haven't looked for Taco Bell at 4 a.m. recently. They're all closed. All right. Mm-hmm. I finally find an open Burger King. I'm like, yes, because they have like that Hershey Sunday pie I love so much.
Those are so good.
So, right? You know about it? That weird little triangle cardboard container of Hershey pie?
Yeah, you know what?
So I eat those. Good.
I sometimes go when I, on the rare occasion I have a car, I'll like go through the drive-thru and just cram it in my mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in one, like go to the drive-thru and just.
Yeah. You're like not even done paying and you're already like licking the bottom of the cardboard container.
Last year I did a SoundSings tour here in Miami. I was in the car. I recorded it. I went to the fast food, whatever, it was the Burger King. And I ordered like a, what do they call it? It sounds something that sounds like lesbian or something. It was like.
Is it a dessert?
It's something that I made into something that sounds like lesbian. I don't know, like a filet of girl or I don't remember what it wasn't that. But I remember I ordered one of those cheesecake in a box and I just stuffed it in my pie hole.
Yeah. It's like the Hershey Sunday pie. Like I dream about it.
I think it's disgusting. I'm so sad and ashamed.
I know this is bad. It's a bad fucking dirty thing.
How's your mother?
Wait, hold on. I didn't even get to the fucking story yet.
Oh my God. That was so fucking long already.
I didn't even say anything. You just got excited
about
Burger
King.
We
talked about the pie in my tour. Do you realize we spent eight minutes talking about your pie?
Listen. No, hold on. It'll be over quick, I swear. So I've driven around. It's far too late. I find the open Burger King. I'm like, yes. I order a Whopper Jr. with cheese and my Hershey Sunday pie. I'm like, do you take credit cards? They say yes because I had no cash with me. I get to the drive-thru. She takes my credit card. And like 5 minutes later, she's like, sorry, our credit card machine isn't working. Like my Hershey Sunday pie is sitting there. I can see it. And I'm like, you better give me that shit. Like, I went crazy. It was too late.
Okay,
and
no.
She's like, I can't give it to you. Right. And I'm like, you know you're going to throw it out when I drive away. You can't save my Whopper. Right. Just give it to me. It's not my fault. Your credit card machine's broken. Okay. That's why I asked you first.
So did you have cash or what?
No, I had no cash. And I sat there with her for 5 minutes. I wouldn't drive away.
Right. We get the drama. So what happened?
I'm telling you, there was a standoff. I refused to drive away.
So that's
until
the conflict.
She gave me the food for free.
You got it for free, the free pie?
Yeah, because she was scared. I was like, I'm not leaving without my food. It's too late at night.
You are such a food addict. Oh, my God. You are such a food addict. You know, I think you and I both need to go to one of those 12-step food addict meetings. Do you ever go to those?
No, I don't.
Sorry.
I don't like that shit.
Why?
Because to me, that you're supposed to like feel bad when you're talking about your binges, but I like to be proud of them. I don't want to like sit around and feel guilty about it.
Oh, yeah, right. Anyway, so what
so
else?
So good, April.
I need to get out with this because I'm really feeling a bit out of sorts today. Because I took my girls. I don't want to be a downer because we talk about happy things, you and me. But
shit's real. We talk about the realness.
Oh, the real. Yeah, right. Pie, Snickers pie. But I took my girlfriend Gussie Iskowitz to the to get her biopsy. And it's like it's this horrible procedure. Now, first of all, we go to this the Mount Sinai, and they're doing the best they can over on Mount Sinai. But you know what? It's the only medical center, a hospital on Miami Beach, because you know what happened? The other one, they closed it and made it into condos. And this one
what?
Is yeah. The other
with
hospital,
all those old Jews, you'd think they need all the hospitals they can get.
They do, but that's what's happening in America. There's no money in healthcare. They're all consolidating. And they're just like – so they had like – when I called to see how Gussie was doing, you know what they said? They said there's probably 100 people on the list today. And this is surgery. 100 people in surgery in one hospital. Are you kidding me? Well, this was the surgery department. Turns out I had the wrong department. I went to the cardiac cath lab because she was having a needle something or other, biopsy. And actually she was awake for it because it's like a cardiac catheterization. They use that procedure where you're awake and they stick a needle through your vein and then they make it go all the way up through your insides and you have to watch it on this camera. And now she's in a lot of pain, you know, so I'm feeding
her
chicken soup. Yeah, I feel so terrible for her, you know. And I, you know, it's just terrible. So, but what can you do? But I get these hot and cold flashes like when I was in menopause because I feel like at one minute I feel like it's going to be okay. And then at some minute I feel like I'm in denial. Maybe it's not. You know what I mean? Like it's very.
Of course I do. It's scary when someone you care about is going through this.
Right. And of course she's worried, you know, and I'm not the most stable person.
And you want to be reassuring, but you're afraid too. But,
exactly.
You know, Mangina, we've talked about this. I really believe like. You could deal with anything. It's the fear of the unknown that makes it bad.
Right.
Once you know, like, even if it's just, like, the worst possible news, which I really feel in my heart like it's not going to be that anyway.
I do, too.
But then you can deal with it. You deal with it. But when you don't know is the worst. That's the scary part.
And
when you get the results.
And I have an excellent support system for her. She does, and so do I. Well, she really doesn't. But her mother's coming next week. Believe it or not, her mother's still alive. Now, this is going to be crazy. Now, you want to hear something funny, right? So she tells me.
Of course,
me today,
I want to hear something.
She tells me today, we're lying in bed after the surgery. You know, I'm giving her some chicken soup, Gatorade, this whole business. She says, you know, Madge, next week my mother's coming, and you have to sleep on the couch because I sleep in bed with my mother.
Are you kidding me?
No, I swear to God. Isn't that
Mazel
cute?
Tov.
Isn't that cute? So they
it's
sleep.
It's kind of cute and kind of creepy.
Oh no, it's cute. It's sweet. No, the mother comes first. Sorry. No.
I shower with my mom.
No, that's disgusting.
Why is that
are you
disgusting?
Kidding me?
And yours is
you shower with your mother?
Sometimes, if we're both in a hurry.
Oh, my God. How do you both fit in there?
We have a super size. She has a giant shower.
God.
It's a double
and do you
wide.
Look at her vagina?
No, I don't look at her vagina. I'm too busy washing mine.
Mm-mm. But you told me before that her lips stick out, right? Because you're in your family. Didn't we talk about the heredity of vaginal lips and how... Sometimes they stick out. It's like penises, and sometimes they're longer. And your family,
well,
you told me.
Yeah, because we were talking about how out here in L.A. they have – we weren't talking about my family's hereditary vaginal lip syndromes
were.
Or anything.
Yeah, we were.
But we were talking about
– Yeah, we were. You were talking about how your mother has
rejuvenation surgery.
Ingrown vaginal lips. Ingrown lips run in your family.
You can pop them like a zit.
The whole lip.
Yeah, but just pop it out.
Right.
So nasty. So, no, but Madge, listen. Yeah.
Do you watch each other's vagina? Do you watch each other's vagina out?
No, we don't touch each other. It's like in the interest of time. It's not like a tender moment for sharing.
What do you mean in the interest of time? How does it save time to take a shower together? Like, how are you?
Because
aren't
you
in each other's way?
Okay, look. If I was going to take a 10-minute shower and she was going to take a 10-minute shower, we can take like say. A 15-minute shower together. It won't cut down completely, but like while one person is rinsing the shampoo out, the other person can be lathering up.
Now, when you were close to 200 LBSs, did she ever grimace at your body? Like, ugh, like that?
You know, she's like a Jewish mother, so it's like,
you're
it's
healthy.
Hard to say, but I don't know. It pisses me off. She's always been skinnier than me. She has a great body.
Now, are you getting along? Because I thought there was some strife during the Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. Thanksgiving was like the War of the Roses. It was so bad.
But you should always get
She's
along
doing,
with your
like,
mother.
She's doing like the typical Jewish mother thing. So that was Thanksgiving.
Right.
We don't speak for like a week and a half. And then she does that thing where that Jewish mothers do where she calls and like leaves this message in like a kind of high-pitched voice.
Right.
Like acting like everything's fine, but with this like subtext of like,
nothing's
you know,
fine.
Like weariness. Not W-A-R, but W-E-A-R, like wearing, like right. world weariness.
Because God forbid
like,
a Jewish...
Hi, Rachel, how are you?
Because God forbid a Jewish person should ever be direct and say
oh,
what's
God
on their
forbid
mind.
Anyone right. would say what the fuck is actually going on.
Oh, yeah. I know.
God would like reach down with a handful of lightning bolts and strike us all.
Exactly. Speaking of, what's up with this God thing? Do you believe in God?
What's up with this whole crazy God nonsense?
Or do you have goddess? Where are you spiritually, Rachel? Where are you?
Do you want me to answer this really?
Yeah, I do. Seriously, I've been thinking
I'm
about
a
it a lot.
Worshiper.
Especially today. But go
yeah,
ahead.
No, I believe in God. Really, I do.
But in what way? Well, how do you define your God or whatever?
I define my God as an energy source, like not as a human. I don't picture like a man with a long white beard or anything like that. I think of it more as like a consciousness, a collective consciousness, an energy. You know, I'm fruity like that.
What do you think happens when you die?
Hopefully, there's a lot of snack food.
My skin listens, even my skin listens as I stare down the serpent, as even Eve's skin listens, as I even now listen, each pore opening to the hiss, as the hiss trickles up, jumping cables, electricity crackles, and my heart stops between every beat. And starts again, grace notes expanding past the horizon. My skin listens, even my skin listens, as even Eve's skin listened. But don't worry, this doesn't mean anything. I mean, seriously, don't worry, this doesn't mean anything. But somehow I got your scent on me, right here, just above my wrist, just below my hand, an expanse of no man's land I had been saving for your olfactory deposit. But I wonder, how exactly did your smell get on it? It's not like we were touching at all. Actually, I take that back. I do recall me unable to resist rubbing up against you for half a second. Actually, I take that back. I do remember being unable to resist rubbing up against you for like half a second. Don't worry, this doesn't mean anything. It's just even my skin listens as even Eve's skin listened as I stare down the serpent, as I even now listen, each pore opening to the hiss, as the hiss trickles up. We spill into the thrill of compromising situations. We ride down the free fall, ecstatic slide of synchronization. It's like even my skin listens as even Eve's skin listened. Don't worry. This doesn't mean anything. It's not like we were touching at all.
Be serious. We said
no.
We're
I'm
be serious.
I don't know. I don't know the answer
you
to that.
You seriously hope there's snack food in And that's
yes,
your idea.
I do. This is what I want to happen when I die. I want to walk into the pearly gates onto a fluffy cloud, and like waiting to greet me is like all the dead people that I want to know. Not people from my actual life, but like famous dead people. Like I want Otis Redding there.
Oh, like fuck your grandma. Like, you don't care about seeing grandma. You want to see Otis Redding. So he
yeah, John Lennon, Sylvia. I want all my favorite suicide victims there. I want to see Sylvia Plath, Anne Sexton.
Okay.
I want to see Vincent Van Gogh, and I want us all to sit down and have some snacks.
Oh, Van Gogh. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned Van Gogh, because you know about this. You know, I don't know if it was grandson or great grandson around Theo van Gogh. You know about this? The filmmaker who was murdered in Holland a few years ago. Do you know?
Yes.
Well, do you know? Have you ever seen that movie that he was actually murdered for?
No, what's it called?
Well, it's interesting. It's called, I think it's called Submission. But what's cool about it is somebody posted it on our queer video podcast feed, fagregator.com. And I just found it when I was at the gym. This is what happens when you go to the gym. And you can actually watch it on this video feed, Fagregator. And it's really interesting.
So you watched it on your, do you have like a video iPod or something?
Yeah, I do.
Or you watched it when you got home?
I do, but you can watch it on iTunes. You don't need one of those fucked waste of money video iPods. But it's really interesting to watch. It's really interesting to watch. But I'm sorry.
So is it the full movie or a snippet?
It's a short movie. I mean, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it's like a short film.
It's not a full movie. And I would say it's pretty bigoted, but you know what? I can't really place a judgment because it's really an artistic film and it's very well shot. And I think it represents, it's more about, it's more about abusive husbands than it really is about. I mean, it sort of implies that all Muslims, that the Islam religion, I hope I'm using my terminology correctly, but the Islam religion that Islam is inherently misogynistic and encourages the abuse of women. And,
oh, well, heaven forfend. Who would ever say that?
Okay.
He must be a bigot.
And then they give examples of, you know, the veils and this and that. And it's this woman talking about how she's, you know, under the veil and her husband beats her. And then, you know, interspersed are these shots of like very erotic poses underneath the veil, like you see her wearing the veil, but at the same time, parts of the veil are translucent. You see her breasts. But I wanted to talk to you about
awesome. That sounds fucking cool.
But it's interesting.
And let me just clarify for all of our listeners that I believe that pretty much all organized religions are extremely misogynistic. It's not like I'm anti-Islam specifically or even anti-Islam, but I don't think, I mean, you got to call a spade, like you can't be so politically correct that you're going to be like, oh, he's a bigot for saying that traditional Islam is anti-woman.
Right.
I mean,
right.
All organized religion, all the ones I've come across that are like traditional in place in our, you know, Western world are anti-woman. They wear goddamn burqas.
But the thing is, though, too, is that on the other side is like they were showing that even if the religion has a lot of misogynistic writings. And I don't know enough about Islam to tell you the truth if it does. I certainly know enough about Judaism to know that it definitely does. That Orthodox Judaism, and you talked about this on your last Eat Birds, and I wanted to talk about
this. Shaving your head?
Right. But
yeah.
But I don't know enough about Islam to say that it's true. Assuming it is, I think that...
I do.
That,
would you like me to tell you some
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I do in a second. But the abuse, like beating your wife...
Yeah.
Is wife abuse. And I don't know that that's tied to the religion. Is it? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to untangle the threads of that, but it's like cultural and is the religion informing the culture or whatever, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But any religion where like when you die, you're top tier of heaven, you get to have 40 wives. Seems to imply that women are belongings.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
If a woman is your belonging, then you have the right to, like, she doesn't have her own, you know.
Okay, but do we know that that's...
Autonomy, like autonomy. So she can, so if that belongs to you, if that's your belonging, you know.
Okay, but I know from secondhand information that they say that in Islam you get 40 wives when you die. But do you know for a fact that that's in the Quran? Is that... I mean, that's what I don't know.
I can't answer that literally because I cannot read Arabic, nor have I read an English translation of the Quran.
Yeah, see, I think there's a lot of...
You know, so I don't want to speak, you know, out of just like, you know, I think, hearsay. I will tell you this. I do have a little bit more of a personal experience with it because one of my dearest best friends in the world, like blonde California girl, mm-hmm. actually converted to Islam. And it damn near destroyed our friendship for a long time. It was really hard for me to accept, you know? And, you know, she was like,
why does it matter to you?
Well, it's one of my best friends in the world. And ultimately, it doesn't. But it matters to me in the sense of a female. Like, it to me, it's as a female, it matters to me more than my ideas about God or religion or anything specific to Islam. Just like if she would have said, you know what? I'm going to be a born-again Christian and be, like, seriously religious or a Christian scientist or I'm going to become an Orthodox Jew. It doesn't really – it's not about Islam. For me, I'd be like, hello, you got to be born in America, which, of course, has its shortcomings.
Right, but you make the distinction.
But you have freedom. You're going to give up your personal –
But do you make the distinction, like, Orthodox Jew? Now, if she's saying she converted to Islam – that's a very broad. There's all kinds of different versions of Islam, just like there are
of course.
Judaism.
Of course.
So,
but most people, put it this way, most people who convert to a religion, they don't really do, like, you know, Islam light or Judaism, you know, sugar free.
That sounds like a,
like, if you're going to go through the effort to convert, you're probably pretty into it. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a generalization. I mean, I would say that's true based on the people I know.
No, I'm just saying psychologically, if you're going to choose to convert to a religion, especially like Judaism or Islam, which it's not like you just get to say, like with born again Christianity, like poof, you're a Christian. Like you have to do some serious work. Like learn Hebrew,
right?
Learn Arabic,
right?
And I mean that part's cool to me. I think you should have to put in some effort if you want to really convert to a religion. Like you should take some time and study.
I think
it's
pretty much a waste of time.
But I'm saying if you do that, you're probably pretty committed to a traditional outlook.
Don't you think it's more? It would be more worthwhile spending time to study religions than to actually join one. I mean, it's.
Do I think that? Of course I do.
So we talked about you believe in God. So does your God belong to any specific sect? How do you define your?
Of course not.
So you're say? Do you see yourself more as spiritual then?
I guess spiritual. I see myself more. You know what makes me believe in God? Honestly,
your vagina.
The things I see. Well, yeah. When I see a big spread vag
right
in front of me,
like me.
The truth is, yeah, that does make me believe in God. That's what I was going to say. Science is actually what makes me believe in God the most. Like when I read somewhere about these patterns that exist, like the golden spiral, the golden numbers, or like the Fibonacci patterns, or like quantum physics. Ironically, like the more I learn about science, the more I'm like, man, God's cool. It just makes me... And that's not to say I believe in intelligent design, God forbid, or anything like that. Like, but it just, it seems to me there's this collective power energy source that is really affirmed for me when I find out about incredible patterns
and I think that's important.
That are soothing to me.
You make the distinction between intelligent design and that, because there's a difference between knowing based on scientific research, which is science. And there are plenty of science teachers who would speak this exact same way you do, but that doesn't fall under the realm of scientific. Intelligent design doesn't fit under the realm of science simply because the scientific method doesn't include paranormal models. It just doesn't.
Well, I mean, it actually is starting to. What it doesn't include is random fairy tales. Like, once upon a time, God made a man, and then he made a girl, and then he did this, and then they ate an apple, you know?
Yeah, but science exists to explain uses natural phenomena to explain events.
It uses established things that already exist and to explore why they work, how they work.
Yeah.
That's why you have a hypothesis, and then you test the hypothesis, and then it becomes a theory. And science is extremely fallible. Like, it's not like, you know, that's another thing I love about science is, like, things seem to be true and, like, we all agree. We kind of take these things into agreement because a scientist discovered them. And then all of a sudden, someone will discover something else and be like, wait a minute, we were totally off track with that, you know?
You know what,
Hey, there's this book, really.
Go ahead. Mention the book.
There's this book called The Physics of Immortality, and it's by this quantum physicist named Frank Tipler.
Interesting.
He like teaches at Tulane or something, which is like a really good physics.
It used to be till it was drowned by the levees that George Bush refuses to fix. You know, they're not fixing those levees. They just blew that whole thing off, and then Congress just decided not to fund all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, oh, well, the public forgot. Moving on. Next, like... Like, it was a fucking reality show that wasn't getting good ratings. Like, people really aren't... Like, the situation is... It's
appalling. Nobody fucking cares. Nobody fucking cares. But listen...
No, they just want to feel bad for him and be like, oh, how sad. Anyway, back to my Christmas shopping. Like, it's... Right.
Let's keep going really with this.
I'm going to have to be all judgmental. Like, what the hell am I doing? I'm like sitting here, like yelling
eating.
At
listen, let,
girls
let's,
to give
let
me
talk
like
for
Hershey
a
pie.
Hello, can I talk for a second? Listen, I'm going to cut out some of that intelligent design discussion for because we're already at the time where I have to we have to stop because I'm going to take I'm going to keep going and just cut out some of that intelligent design because I was talking out of my ass anyway because I don't
okay I thought it sounded good but
you do
I didn't do that.
You do.
All yeah, right, then let's I like just talking about this subject.
Well, then we have to stop talking then because that's all the time because I got to...
But can't we do it? Can't we have a longer show because of your show that's not on Sirius or is it just for Sirius
okay, yeah, we can do that. All right, let's wrap up the Sirius. All right, so this is the end of Sirius. Thank you for listening. This is Sirius Stars on Adam Curry's pod show. My vagina hurt and stink. This was. This is we're here every day and eat my ass out. You got radio here, thank goddess, for Sirius, where you can say whatever the fuck you want to. Isn't that right, Rachel Can?
Yes. Yeah, thanks for saying my name. I was going to say, because in case people out there are obsessed
yeah, shut up
with
already.
Me and my,
Enough with
my
you.
Musings on Islam.
Okay. And thank
Rachel Can.
Bye.
Inspirational.
Say bye.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Bye.
Okay, now we can keep talking. Now
should we? Do you want to? Or should we stop?
We can keep talking for a few minutes, but I can't talk long because, you know, Gussie's in bed. And I got to keep a company, you know. Aww.
We, yeah, you know, do you want to go? Go.
No, we'll talk for a few more minutes just so that we
okay,
can get
okay.
back to being stupid.
Okay, well, what I was going to say about this Frank Tipler thing
okay.
is that he wrote this whole book, The Physics of Immortality, where he felt like he had mathematically proven the existence of God, which is wild already. I mean, he's this brilliant physicist. I mean, it had like the math equation at the end of the book. It was like 20
pages
long.
Can you
long,
do me a favor? And it's this, can you lie and tell me you're going to send me the link? To that book. I know you want, because I always ask people to do
sure.
that, and they never do. But I figure at least if
no,
I
I'll
ask
send
you
the link.
Okay, just...
I'll send you the link.
Okay, thanks.
But here's the best part.
Okay.
So his theory about this was called Omega Point Theory, okay?
Okay, right. I'm okay.
So I read this book, and I, like, love it. It totally blows my mind. It's very convoluted, like, nanotechnology and physics that I'm not going to explain and, like, bore your listeners to tears.
Well, yeah, they're already
but
bored.
Suffice to say that, like, a year later, he denounced the whole book. He's like, I take back everything I said. That theory is fucked. Forget what I said. It's so awesome. I love science for that. You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that was
I'm
my
eating
point there.
I'm keep talking. I'm eating.
Hello?
I said keep talking. I'm eating again.
Hello?
God damn it. Oh.
Well, listen, everybody. I'm going to keep talking until Mangina calls back because... You know, we talk on the phone so that we can get things synced up, but Madge just hung up on me because he didn't like, I mean, she, because she didn't like my scientific theories. But, I just wanted to mention that I'm touching myself right now. Oh, there she is. Listen, I'll let you listen to my phone ring for a minute. Do you love it? It's dueling banjos. Hello, what's going on?
Are you still recording?
Yeah, I've been recording this whole time. I even played my dueling banjos phone ring for the listeners.
Okay, good. So we're all right. All right.
Yeah, we're fine. It's only Reagan who, like, stops the recording when shit like that happens and screws everything up.
Yeah. So what were you saying about this? What I was trying to say is I was stuffing my face with ice cream, and all I was trying to say is keep talking.
Well, let's talk about Caramel Sutra. Is that, like, the best ice cream you've ever had?
No. Wanda Wisdom.
Well,
Wanda Wisdom told me her favorite is Ben and Jerry's creme brulee, which I've never tried, and I looked for it tonight and I couldn't find it. So this is she told me this.
You
one.
Know what,
mm-hmm.
Madge? You know what? Wanda's tripping. It is not Ben and Jerry's who makes creme brulee.
No, I'm. She said Haagen-Dazs. I misspoke.
Okay. That's one of my favorites, too. Oh, my God. Me and Wand are like soulmates.
Kiss ass.
That creme brulee ice cream tastes just like fucking creme brulee, but cold. It is so good. But Caramel Sutra is ridiculous. It's so good. I love caramel.
They should have a ice cream lesbian flavor, like lesbian pussy.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be a huge seller. They already do. It's called fish food.
Legs. Lesbian legs.
No, they really do, like, have one called fish food.
I know. It's like one of the Grateful Dead. Because they're all like fish. These Grateful Dead-ish themes.
I know, because they're from Vermont. They're fucking hippies from Vermont.
I heard Vermont was going to secede from the Union. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that'd be rad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. Could I live in Vermont?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could handle it. Wait, so are you liking the Caramel Sutra or not? I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
keep
the best,
talking.
Right?
I'm eating. Keep talking. I'm eating.
I will. Okay, but I seriously. I mean, I like. I'm not.
What
one of those
kind
purists.
Of ice cream would I not like? That's made of fat.
I know. That's what I was gonna say. I'm not a purist. Like, it's from their like smooth and creamy like Core Creations line. It's called Core Creations. I cannot believe I know this much about ice cream. It makes me.
I prefer the chunky ice creams. I prefer chunks
me
of
too.
Yummies.
That's what I was gonna say. I like shit in my ice cream. I'm down for
shit.
It. I like
you
every kind.
Shit. Like the turd poo. I found in the dildo?
Poo ice cream. No, but seriously, I like
dildo turds.
Dildo shitty kitty ice cream. Gross. You know what we should do? Let's make something called kitty litter ice cream, and we can take, like, chocolate ice cream and put almond mocha in it. That totally looks like a cat poo in kitty litter. Have you ever seen it? Do you know almond mocha candies?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look like a cat shit that's rolled in the litter after it gets yeah. rolled up? Let's invent cat litter ice cream.
Yeah.
Cat poo ice cream.
I'd eat it.
I'd fucking eat that shit, of course. We could actually gross people out. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know what else I saw in a store once? But I've only seen it once, and I ran away. I never bought it because I was like, don't even open. It was like such a Pandora's box. Like, it was like if somebody hands you the needle full of heroin and you're like sitting there debating. Fucking
what?
Cashew roca. Not almond roca, but cashew roca.
I love cashews sometimes, but I'm afraid of them mixed in stuff.
Really? I'm not afraid of them with chocolate and toffee.
Chocolate and cashews sound weird to me, but of course I'd eat it.
I know. You'd be brave and try it once. Yeah. I ran away because I knew if I started, I would never stop. But you know where I
got
to
tell you,
cashews.
I've got my microphone because I'm using the wireless, but it's attached to the 5-pound donkey there. And I've got the wireless mic sitting on top of the microwave, and like every time you talk, I'm stepping over to the refrigerator, opening up, looking for food. And then when I have to talk or respond or laugh, I have to go back to the microwave and laugh, then go back and hunt for more food. I'm foraging.
You're like foraging. Well, that's good because you know about do you know the Rachel Can diet?
Seafood?
No. I have, like, a few rules. Like, if you eat directly out of the fridge, it has no calories.
That's stupid.
It's only once you, like, put it on a plate and sit down, then it has calories. But if you eat standing or sitting in front of the fridge, it's like it never happened. Like, if you eat ice cream with a fork, it has no calories because you didn't really eat it. You just had a little. It's just like.
So that, does that mean if you sit down and your pants explode that it's not really happening, that there's not a big disgusting pile of white gush oozing out of your blubber, out of your pants, that your pants don't fit, that there's not this big red painful scar around your waist
when you take your jeans off,
yeah,
like the that's imprint of the inside of the button, yeah, it's not real.
Oh,
no,
great.
But and you know what else uh-uh. If you get like, you could eat like, if you had like, say, a triple cheeseburger, that's disgusting, right? It's like 70 grams of fat, right? But if you have lettuce and tomato on it, then you had a salad. You didn't have a hamburger.
That's retarded.
But it has to have lettuce and tomato.
You know what, though? I don't think that's original. I think somebody. This sounds familiar. I think it's somebody's bit. I think this is not
original. No, this is my bit. You probably heard me say it somewhere else.
No. I've heard it before.
This is mine.
It's not. I've heard
it before. Dude, I started having eating disorders in 1979.
And nobody else did.
This is my shit.
Nobody else had eating disorders before you.
This is my diet.
How old? Nobody else decided that a.
You know, that putting I just a tomato turned 21.
You are a liar.
I'm a spry 21-year-old man.
I know you didn't do it intentionally. I know you're not a bit stealer, but I'm telling you that somebody else did this bit before you. I know it.
I'm not saying you're saying I stole it intentionally. I'm saying someone stole my
bit. I'm not saying you're saying I stole it. That you're saying I'm saying you're stealing it. Stoling.
But I think somebody stole my bit.
All right. Listen, that's enough. That's enough.
No.
I think
okay,
no,
well, let
we
me just
I
say
like
this.
To I'm not like when you when you're eating bird. I like to leave it when it's good. I like to leave this stiff but while it's hot, you know what I mean?
What
I don't
want
to wait till we burn
mean?
Well, I don't want to leave we'll let it burn us into the ground. You know what I mean?
That's
I don't
want to eat bird does?
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Fine.
No, but what I'm saying is I have to take care of Gussie Escorts.
I know. You should.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, honey.
I have to because she already told me. She said, Madge, you work so hard. And this is so weird. You know what? Like, this Google thing is scary. It's turning scary, right? You know,
Google?
This Google desktop? Because it's smart. Now, I just sent an email to somebody, or I did a post, and my post was... I posted my yeast radio. I just posted it for today before I called you for this show because I'm not like a day ahead. So I posted it and like in the title was, why the fuck can't iTunes, you can't use apostrophes in your iTunes titles because it screws it all up. It puts like all these weird characters
symbols,
in it.
Yeah.
Right. So so that was my title. And then like it immediately, like my Google desktop shows me some news bulletin about apostrophes. It's like it knows what I'm thinking. It's weird. I don't like it.
That's creepy. What's Google Desktop? I don't even know what that is. I just use Google.
Are you PC or Mac?
PC.
Yeah, if you can get it on the PC and lose even more privacy.
I don't think I want it. It sounds creepy.
Yeah, I like it because it does. I don't know why. It's a double-edged yeast infection. But we should talk about that. We didn't even get to talk about the Patriot Act. Remember, probably disagree. You're very conservative. That's kind of bothering me.
What the hell are you talking about?
You're kind of conservative. You have some conservative views, at least compared to me.
Like what?
Well, like your views on the death penalty and there was something.
Why? I said I was completely against the death penalty.
Yeah, but your view sounded, you say that, but it doesn't sound like based on your arguments that they're necessarily in line with that, though. Because you're like.
No. I just said that I don't think that Tukey Williams should have been deified into some glorified character. I don't think he was a good person. That being said, I don't think he should be killed because I don't think the death penalty should be in place. It should be abolished. It's barbaric and pointless.
Okay, then I mistook what you were saying on that show.
Yeah, dude. I do have some kind of weird, like, more conservative views, but I'm completely liberal. Like, my conservative views have to do with things like...
Listen, it's fine if you
get married before they have kids and shit. Like mine have to do with the protection of children mostly is where I'm conservative.
Well, see, the way it is for me, I don't care if people are conservative, but the difference is like there's nothing wrong with being conservative. It's just a question of do you legislate your conservatism or do you not? Like
exactly.
If you say, are you about do you like you think people should wait till they get married? Fine, but you're not about to make it a law.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
Well, then that's the difference. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that in my book. I think people shouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid to have kids, but I'm not going to legislate that.
They should sterilize the country. Believe me, if we legislated everything I thought should be, we'd have like 4 people left in America and everyone else would be shot on sight.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, this is good because this means like basically... I don't have to, really, my shows are done for the week then, pretty much.
I'm not conservative, though. Was it just the death penalty thing that made you think that?
No, there was something else that we talked about earlier in this show, and I can't remember what it was. It sounded like you were leaning a little conservative. But see, you got to realize I'm very, very sort of extreme. But I don't remember.
I'm extreme, too. It's just this. This is the thing about me. I'm a Libra, okay? I have a very strong.
Oh God, not a fucking astrologer.
I have a very
astrologer.
Strong sense. I have a very strong sense of right and wrong, but it's my own random set of rules. You know what I mean? It's not about what other people.
Oh, you know what it was? It was that Islam thing. It sounded like you were a little bit. It sounded like you were a little bit. I guess I was. You seemed a little bit, maybe judgmental. About that, I thought. I was surprised.
I am judgmental, but it's not about Islam. It's about organized religion. As a woman, I am judgmental against the dogmatic parts of organized religion because they're all anti-woman. They are anti-woman.
Okay, so then let's do it. Let's just talk about this because we might as well finish it. We don't have a time limit.
Give me a beat.
That's funky.
No, the secret is to find the cool shit in Los Angeles. You just have to dig deep. You might find it when you're least expecting it, actually. Los Angeles actually lies inside of Burbank, like the stone in a royally fucked up principality. Crack it open and notice this mysterious innard in Los Angeles, a land where I have seen the sinners stand stock still, unentranced enough to dance, even when it's the raddest band ever. In Los Angeles, where the faces are dermablasted, the breastuses elasticized, the thighs liposucked. In Los Angeles, this land of pseudo-health, where those who smoke them if they got them are denigrated, they spit upon them. In a pocket of Los Angeles lies the land of Burbank, and in the Vaughn's Shopping Center, you can enter a dimensional rift in the fabric of this city on the edge, a place where smokers proudly purse lips around cancer sticks, a haven where those of craven cravings for regular-looking humans may be fulfilled. But the true thrill of this ill lil' den is when Louie and the band hit the stage playing Jungle Love, ha! O-E-O-E-O, or some or another funky-ass cover, and the people in there get up and dance. Dance like motherfuckers. Dance like motherfucking Etruscans. Etruscans who know the end is coming. So nothing else matters but the pattern the recycled funk makes trailing through their systems. Here, they don't just listen, they feel. They gives a fuck about pretty. They're the real deal. They dance like they're praying for rain. They dance like a whacked out part middle-aged Armenian, part failed entertainment industry dreaming, part sassy and Spanish speaking, part freak show. I know you're feeling me. So killing pain, they dance till my brain is stained with the optical imprint of their rhythmic physical manifestation, until I revel at the notion that LA is the only place in the nation where people stand stationary waiting for the music and passion to prove something to them. It's insane. But not in this place. In this place, Ahmed, Muhammad, and Yusuf twist like gypsies. And mind you, I am speaking literally as opposed to euphemistically. Nancy, the rehabilitated addict, undulates with unadulterated passion. Ernesto and Francesca dance like they're charmed. They don't mean no harm. They're not trying to be the baddest ass in the room. They just are. And old big belly men jiggling and wiggling, and old big boobied women bouncing and flouncing, denouncing their young, scrawny, chicken-armed counterparts with their choreographic interpretation, big booty shaking performance art. In this place, it's all about wacky wood paneling, and it's so dark that none of the luscious, large female regulars can fathom me being older than 21, and they stop and hug me, and I hate and love this place all at once, but it seems sweeter because I'm leaving it, so mostly I love it. And the sweetest thing, the thing I love the most, is that I have this moment to stand, neck crooked painfully forward, inhaling the comforting commingled aromas of maraschino cherries and green olives. In this twisted home, I am afforded this blessed moment to write down this poem.
Because we didn't get to it. This business about that thing with the Jews and the shaved heads. Because I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, that's a part of Orthodox Judaism. So,
can you explain that for the people that don't listen to
Hanukkah. E Bird, where I fucking run the show into the ground? That one.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was talking about, and this is another thing that like annoys me about organized religion, is that in Orthodox Judaism, when a woman gets married, she shaves her head so that she will not be a temptation to other men because now she belongs to her husband. But it's like this ill logic that goes along with some of the traditions of organized religion that makes me insane, because they shave their head, but it's not like they walk around bald. They wear wigs. So it's like, what are you, like,
that
tricking
so
the
stupid
system? Like this god all didn't notice
that
you had a
so
wig
stupid
on?
Stupid. That is so stupid.
Like,
well, it's the same thing with
logic here, people.
Well, it's the same. It's the same thing with keeping kosher. I mean, that is the most.
Well,
most
yeah, that's
fococcus,
because think
stupid
about it.
Thing.
Think about it. In back when that came into play, like when you ate pork, you died because they didn't know right how to cook it properly. You got worms and died. So of course, if someone eats pork and then drops dead, they say, "Yes, God said not to eat pork because God struck people dead who ate pork." Get
right
it?
And you have like, I have a very close relative's house. Boy, when you go and you bring takeout food, you have to eat on paper plates, right? And you have to have the meat on one plate.
Yeah.
One set of plates and the dairy on the other.
Oh, Orthodox
and God forbid
Jews
you take
have
a spoon.
Two sets of, like Orthodox Jews,
oh, I know.
They have two different counters with two different sinks. You can't even cut
or
it
two
on the
kitchens.
Same counter.
I know. And it's so retarded because to me, what I call it is I call it adult cooties.
Yeah,
because it's but anyway, but back to the sexism thing. So tell me about what's the story with this? I just don't get it.
Well, it's
maybe
the same
maybe
thing
explain
where women,
it.
I mean, why should the woman have to shave her head so as to not be a temptation to other men? It's this whole like virgin whore thing that exists. It's the
okay,
same
and where
thing
does that fall into play?
What?
Where does that fall into play in Christianity? I see it in Judaism. I definitely see it in Islam. Where does it fall into play in Christianity?
Where are women treated like they're like a bad temptation in Christianity?
Yes.
Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. Or are you looking for a specific like religious practice?
I'm asking a question and I'm not being facetious.
Okay. I don't know. I'm going to think as I babble, but I'm not sure that I know Christianity well enough to think of a specific religious practice. But like there's story after story. Like look at the Delilah story. Look at like Eve. I mean, come on. It's all like.
But those are part of the Bible. But what about in practice? Like to you know like you have the in Judaism you have the shaving of the balls of the woman or the labia whatever
the
it is.
The Orthodox Judaism, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm like,
and
extreme Christianity. And I don't know it well enough to know.
Well, I guess the nuns. You have the nuns.
Well, what about like? Well, yeah.
But then you have the gay priests that
do
the same
I mean,
shit. So that doesn't count.
But like that's. Hey, fucking!
Did you say all religions
yeah
are sort of anti-woman?
Exactly.
So I want to see how Christianity is.
I mean, there, like in some sects of Christianity, there's like you can have polygamy, like extreme sects of Christianity.
Oh, the morons! That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it exists in every religion. Like, and I bet it would exist in certain sects of Christianity too, but I don't know for sure. But in like Orthodox temples and like I think pretty much, I don't know about, you know, progressive mosques. I'm sure they exist, but I am not educated enough to know. But you know, in Orthodox temples and in Orthodox mosques, the women can't even sit with the men. Like, they're not allowed to be, you know, close to where the God part is happening. And this is all
And they're not allowed
because...
to be pretty either.
Hmm?
They're not allowed to be pretty, and the men are evidently not allowed to be good looking.
Apparently not. Yeah.
Ugh.
But I mean, it's...
I don't
it's,
get it.
Well, it all started, a lot of it started because of, I mean... Not all of it, but a significant part was because of menstruation. Like, when back in the way back in the day, that was considered dirty and unclean, and you know, you that was why you couldn't be near the men. A part of the reason, you know,
why
it was just considered dirty. It wasn't understood and unclean. It's a power trip.
I guess you'd have to live in it. I guess you'd also have to live in it. You have to go back try and imagine how it would be in a time when medicine didn't really exist and people didn't really understand these things.
But look at today. Well, great. Medicine exists. Women's health, women, the act of being a woman is treated as an illness. Like, your period is treated like an illness. If you watch commercials for Midol or Pamprin or tampons, if you were an alien and you landed on Earth, you would think, like, the state of being a female is an illness. Childbirth is treated as a medical illness, a problem that needs to be solved. Like, the way, it's just insane.
What are you supposed to do? Go dancing when you're given a baby? I mean, I don't understand.
I don't know. You know, I was just...
It's a medical situation. I mean, you're very close to death.
Not necessarily. That's just what we are... That's what's instilled in us. Plenty of people
your vagina's the size
midwives.
Of a...
Listen, plenty of people have babies with midwives that are fine. That's not to say that there might not be complications. And I'm pro-medicine. Like, I'm not, like, one of those people that's extreme anti-Western medicine. I just think there needs to be a balance. But... Pregnancy is not a disease that needs to be cured, and it's treated that way. Childbirth is,
Oh my God! I think you've spent too many days at that modern dance class with Meredith Monk and all those Meredith Baxter Burney and all those other crazy
Meredith Monk and Meredith Baxter Burney kicking it together. Yeah. I would like to go hang out with the two of them together.
Because you sound very 70s feminist. You need a good healthy dose of 2000 00s porno cam girl feminism.
But you know what? The shit's still going on.
Take out your pussy and earn money for
it. Listen,
you know what I mean?
Listen, Magina, listen to me. You go take a poll. You talk to, say, just choose like 5 women you know that have had kids, say, in the last 5 years, okay, in a hospital.
Yeah.
Regular, normal childbirths. And you ask them how it was.
Okay.
Ask them. And I bet you're going to find out some horrible shit. You know how we still in hospitals, 9 times out of 10, they have you give birth with laying on your back with your legs up in the air. It's the worst possible way to give birth. It goes against gravity. It causes blood vessels to break. It causes pain. It's dangerous for the baby. Why do they still do it?
It's good for the doctor to see, right? Isn't that why?
Yeah, but so what? So put the woman up on a chair, like one of those birthing chairs that helps gravity, and
so
put
what?
It up high, and the doctor sits a little bit below it. It doesn't have to be completely up and down, but you could change the angle a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So the doctor gets a big snonkering of spaghetti on his face and placenta. And if the woman has AIDS, then it's all in his fucking throat. That doesn't sound very sanitary.
Oh, so that's why? Give me a fucking break. And I don't even know, I mean...
Well, that's a pretty good reason. You don't want a big fucking salami in your face. You don't want a big fucking wad of placenta in your face when you're delivering a baby.
You know what? If I was getting a doctor's salary, I might be open to it. If I wore, like, some plastic goggles.
Please, doctors earn their salary.
They
I used to work in
hospital. Absolutely do. I'm not anti-doctor. I'm just saying, like, it's not the same... There's things that are done to women in our culture. The female state is treated like an illness.
I don't know. Okay.
And I'm not. I'm just telling you. And so I don't think like, oh, that was back in the day with organized religion when people didn't understand femaleness.
But don't you think it's time to stop this 50s, this feminist victimization?
I don't feel like I'm victimizing myself.
You have more than 50% of the population are women. I mean, how can you possibly be victimized? How can you accuse women of being, or the females of being a disease or whatever it is, or an illness, when more than half the people are women? That means you're the ones doing it. I mean, no, come on, you got to take some responsibility.
Now, what about when did you stop being a woman all of a sudden?
I am a woman, but I'm a new age feminist. I'm a free thinker.
I'm not even
I don't
a
just
fucking
buy in.
Feminist.
I don't go to modern dance. I don't even go to Wendy's.
I'm not even a goddamn feminist. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about real shit. That this modern brand of feminism is some crazy bullshit. Like if
no, cam girls.
To someone who's like, if you ask some people like, what's a feminist? Like anyone can be a feminist. You just have to be pro woman. Like fuck feminism and like the bullshit that goes along with it. I'm a misogynist, if anything. That's not the point.
No, I'm a misogynist.
Me too. That's
you're a
like
feminist.
No, I'm not.
No, you're a feminist. I'm a. All right, you're a you're a fageminist. Let's just create a new word.
Fageminist. The hegemony. Vagina. I like that.
I'm going to stop saying. I don't know. I'm tired. I need a new vagina word because I got sick of saying Fredgina. Then I talked about the Mertzes. Got sick of that. I'm going back to vagina. That's what we used to say on the West Coast. I mean the East Coast. Vagina with a B.
Vagina.
So I'm going to start saying vagina.
You know
vagina.
What I used to call vaginas when I was little?
What?
This is a good one. Vagiant. Huh?
That's pretty good.
But where I didn't know. I heard the word wrong. You know, I just thought that was the word, vagiant. But my parents thought it was so funny that they never corrected me. They just let me keep saying it wrong for their amusement. Until one day I was like in school and said vagiant. And like the teacher pulled me aside and was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, you know, vagiant, like the thing you pee out of. And they were like, no, that's called vagina. And I was like, no, it's not. It's vagiant. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's called urethra. Urethra. Urethra.
Find out, like,
I used
my
to know this girl and
say it wrong for their own entertainment and amusement.
I used to know this girl in college, and she would just get drunk at parties and run around, urethra, urethra, urethra.
See, people
listen,
like
that's
that
enough.
Are why I'm a misogynist.
That's enough. We talked about this shit already. I don't know where we went with it. I don't know what the point was, but at least we created some content, and these people that have nothing better to do than to listen to us have just had something to do.
Yeah, what do you care? Yeah, you're making money hand over yeast. What do you care?
I'm not making money hand over yeast, but I am paying the bills, and I'm very grateful for that.
I was just kidding anyway. I just wanted
very
to use that,
that
phrase that I just made up in my head.
Yeah, I'm not making the half a billion dollars that Howard Stern is making for being on the channel next door to me. But did you hear? Well, I'm not going to. I don't want to be redundant because I said this on my show. Pat Robertson is, like, they just did a press release. Pat Robertson is going to be on Sirius about 50 channels away from me.
Really?
Pat Robertson. So I made a call to Jeremy Coleman, the VP of entertainment on Sirius. I said, you know what? Why don't you just hire Bin Laden, give him a channel, and then you'll have everything covered.
Nice.
Bin Laden channel, you know? Anyway, I got to go, Rachel. Thanks for being with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
God, I should play another one of your songs.
Okay.
You know what? When you email, are you going to put this in your
I'm going to put it in your FTP server.
The one, I forget which one you use.
It says Rachel.
Okay.
You want me to put a new song in there?
Yeah, put a song in there, whichever one, and I'll just stick it in somewhere.
Okay. Thanks.
And... yeah, so you'll do that tonight because I got to post. I got to get this out tomorrow. You definitely got to do it before you go to bed.
I'll do it right now. Like the second we hang up, I'll do it. I just want to say, can I say one more thing? Because I can like feel like the comments coming. That when I'm saying this stuff about organized religion or Islam or Judaism or Christianity, because I know people are going to be like, it's not anti-woman. Look at Fatima and look at so-and-so and look at Queen Esther and la, 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 la. I'm talking about the dogma.
Queen Esther.
I'm talking about religion used as a tool.
Look at Purim.
Sorry. What? What'd you say?
Purim. Look at Purim.
Look at fucking Purim,
said Queen
okay?
Esther.
It's fabulous. No, but give me some Hamantaschen, goddammit. No, but listen. I'm talking about the dogma of religion used as a tool of control. I am not talking about the Gnosticism or even the mysticism. Like Sufism is fucking awesome.
I love a whirling dervish.
Kabbalah is great. Not this Madonna's freaky redneck Kabbalah, but like,
I'm not talking about the Gnosticism
of religion. I'm talking about the dogma that is used as a tool of control. I just want to clarify that.
Whatever. All right. We'll get back to this. Don't worry. You're not going to get a barrage of comments. The Eat This Hot Show comment blog people are very different from the ones. My show, you don't get that kind of shit because the show, I get a new show every day. You don't get that kind of discourse where people are constantly blah, blah, blah.
Well, even if so, they're thinking that in their head, I want to clarify. But hello, we did get a lot of comments on Eat This Hot Show. People loved me, Mangina.
No, that's what I'm saying. On Eat This Hot Show, we tend to get a lot of discourse. But on my show, on Yeast Radio, where this is going, not as much.
I know, usually, but isn't it's that every cool day. That people loved me?
They didn't really. They were lying.
Why were lying? They
didn't want to hurt your feelings. That
well, that's good because I'm a needy, needy, need whore, and I don't care if people lie if they say things that make
me
feel
No, they liked you,
good.
And they liked me and you together.
I like Reagan, me and you together,
only,
too.
The only reason I have you on my show is because it's the only way I can get Reagan to listen to it.
I'm just joking. Oh, I'm so flattered. That's so sweet.
I know that's the only time Reagan listens to my show is when you're on it.
Do you like eating pussy? Seriously, Madge, do you?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Who doesn't?
Some mm-hmm. people don't. Some uptight girls don't.
Oh, whatever.
Have you ever used that clit stimulator, like lotion?
Oh, my God. You're never going to shut up, are you? You're never going to shut up.
Forget it. I just wanted to talk about that clit stim gel they sell.
Listen, clit stim gel, I got to go, and I need your file.
Goodbye.
I got to have it in the morning.
Goodbye. Case number 87-263. Intensity versus dignity. The dead center of winter. I testify. You and I snuck into the theater on Christopher Street. How stupid were they to give us both our own set of keys after tricking ourselves silly at the back fence? You on cold buffalo winter type libations, all manly and shit, always Rolling Rock / Guinness / JD if you were in a hurry. I don't even remember what I was drinking, but about you, I remember everything. Like the knit cap that said Dolomite and was from an actual mine where they actually mined the actual substance Dolomite. You were that fucking cool without even trying, and I remember your little round wire glasses and the way your last name was a verb and a noun like mine. And when the bars closed at 4, ready for more, fingers all freezing and stumbly, we'd unlock the theater door, plop down in the lobby so full of 20-year-old balls we didn't even bother to hide from the passersby. Light up a bowl, read our favorite Shepherd and Bukowski to each other, proud of the sound of how righteous, passionate, loud our own voices could be. And then when we'd leave, we'd go back to our place in Brooklyn Heights, where we were roommates. Always acted like we never expected anything to happen, and then when we'd fuck, you never had your glasses on, and you were blind without them. I used to love staring up into that vacuous cow eye gaze so oddly placed upon your brilliant face. And then right after you came, while you were still inside me, you'd put your glasses back on, blinking me into focus. And I really fucking liked that. You never said you loved me. God only knows if you ever did. Just another fuck buddy who liked to talk pretty with me. Case number 51-276. Lust versus subversiveness. The dead center of summer. I testify.
I snuck into the walk-in fridge in the just below Harlem jazz bar we both worked in. It was too damn hot. Everything. Catching your scent when you went past me and I'd be wet in a nanosecond. We couldn't help it. We fucked up against racks of zucchini and cabbages squishing squash. And when my eyes shot open to watch the door, I caught sight of the slaughtered lamb skinned just minutes before by the hateful Haitian chef I loved more than life, like a daddy. Fate had made her my sister by placing her in there, Rachel, Hebrew for Lamb of God, and we were both sacrificed on the altar of desire that night as I took you inside me. And then when the bar closed at 4, we'd have an after-work drink together, always Bacardi, Limon, and Coke, which was another thing you taught me. And we'd squeeze about 10 pieces of lemon into each glass, and you'd talk to me in Spanish, and I'd reply in my fucked up Spanish. And then when we'd leave, we'd turn opposite corners, and I'd take the 9 train all the way home alone. And you said you loved me about a million times. God only knows if you ever did. Just another fuck buddy who liked to talk pretty with me. Case number 21-8. You'd make things so complicated, I'd get so frustrated, all I could do is cry. Case number 13. You'd scream at me to stop psychoanalyzing everything. Number 22-11, you'd leave me hanging. Number 31, you'd let me down. Number 3, you'd stare at me a crumpled heap on the floor and be at a loss for how to proceed. It never occurred to you to hold me. I'm running in circles looking for a loophole. I'm trying to be tried for prior uncomprehended crimes and leave with a scot-free rap sheet this time. I want to make your obtuse angle bend into spiritual acuity. Some part of me believes that if I can solve it for you and me, then I break these chains and I walk out of this prison. But I find you infinitely compelling. Emotionally unavailable motherfucking man, your kisses crash instantly into that rift of what no one can give to me. But I can't not want it. And if I could figure out how, I'd end this poem right now.